Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Taylor Glenn, and I'm a writer and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
As well as author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
This is where beer meets breaking and entering, Prosecco meets perjury, and vodka meets vandalism. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Don't let the teeth and the accent fall.
Oh, Hannah.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
Yeah. And she's filmed an anus.
Yeah.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. We are in the studio, aka it's Hannah's house this time.
Hello again.
Even better than a studio, baby. We love being here. And it's my pleasure to introduce our guest for this episode. She is a journalist, she's a BAFTA-nominated director, and she is co-host of the fantastic podcast Brown Girls Do It Too. It's Poppy J!
Wow. God. Hey, that was
Poppy.
Quite the introduction.
Well, you've got
a great introduction.
You've got an impressive list of accolades. It wasn't hard to put together. In fact, I had to cut some things out.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm sorry. Apologies.
You can only apologize for your success. Isn't that what we're supposed to do as women?
Just kidding.
Just kidding. I know. We always kick off the podcast with the same question, and that question is Poppy. Well, we don't say Poppy every time. We usually use the name of the guest. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
So I was the victim of a good old-fashioned mugging.
Oh.
In Primrose Hill, of all places.
No, not Primrose.
So I am like proper born and raised East Londoner, like council estate. Don't let the teeth and the accent fall. I was like in a very unhappy marriage, living in Primrose Hill, because I thought that's what people do. They live in nice areas. And I, incidentally, me and my sister had this competition to see who would get home first. So she lived in East London, I lived in Primrose Hill. And so we were going about our separate ways. I was on the phone to her and I had these really expensive headphones. And this guy just comes up to me and he's like, give me that now. And actually, the headphones were way more expensive than the Sony Ericsson I had. This is pre-smartphone, ladies.
Wow. Whoa.
And then
wowzers.
And then he ran with the Sony Ericsson. And then I ran after him because it was just flight or flight. And I was like, I want my phone. And then it's only when he went off on a side street and I couldn't see him anymore, my internal rape alarm went off and I was like, what are you doing? It's a phone. Stop.
Okay. Wow.
And it was the first, because I'd lived in such shitty, rough areas entire life and nothing had happened. And now I'm in this like fancy place and then I call the police. And this is the other thing. When something like that happens to you, you kind of just whoosh, cut to someone helping you. It felt like it took hours.
Yeah.
Hours. I mean, it's probably minutes, but it took hours for someone, like a passerby, to come round, to walk past me. And I used their phone, call the police, and then jumped in an unmarked police car. Because they said, this happens all the time, apparently. And they often are in the area. And I think, now looking back, he probably just needed the phone to sell for drugs.
Okay.
And I mean, I never found my phone and I lost my headphones, my really expensive headphones.
I was going to say that the headphones were the real casualty.
Oh, so when it, because I can't imagine headphones now with a...
Oh my God, I was in the gym this morning. It was so annoying. I forgot my little, what do you call it? The thing that you put around the sleeve.
The armband.
Yeah, so I had to put it in my sweaty sports bra and every now and then I had to get it out and go, dry the sweat and then put it back in again. And then I was doing this workout that my nutritionist sent me. So I was like, 30 seconds. And I took it out and I was...
Out of your sweaty boobs.
And it was out of my sweaty boobs and it was all bloody connected.
Oh, you should put some rice in there. Isn't that the trick?
Some dry rice. A cup of rice in my sports bra.
You can cook it if you go like for long enough.
Well, actually, a connected crime. I wanted to invest in a pair of
wireless headphones.
So I went to Amazon and ordered it, and they sent me a message saying, "We've just delivered it to you." And I was like, "Well, I'm not in London, so it can't be me." And I've been arguing with them since, because I feel like I have been a victim of crime, because either a neighbor stole my very expensive headphones or the Amazon driver did. Headphone related crime going on here.
I do wonder how much that happens with parcels.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be Amazon. It could be any company. Yeah. It's always Amazon. I've had it where they've delivered the wrong thing, and the thing I was supposed to get was like a set of plates, which is pretty expensive. Yeah. And I was feeling good because I was like, I'm doing all right. I'm going to buy some blue plates, motherfuckers. And what showed up was like really, really cheap hangers. And it took 6 months of having to talk to person after person, like, no, I never got the plates. I got the hangers. Just like again and again. I never saw the plates. I don't know who has my plates. Because they just couldn't.
I don't have 6 months in me. Also, they kept connecting me to a call center in India, like, madam, we give you a one-time password. And I'm like, do you think I'm lying? Yes, I think you're lying. We got so personal. Like, I was like, do you think I'm lying? Madam, I think you're lying. I think you just stole it. It was so infuriating.
I wouldn't know what to do with that kind of...
When I had my phone stolen, I remember I reported it to the police. And I remember the police saying to me, because they said, and it was definitely stolen, was it? And I was like, yes. And they were like, oh, it's just, you know, have you got insurance? And I'm like, yes, but that's none of your business. And they were literally questioning. They were like, oh, okay. It's just that, you know, sometimes people say that their phones are stolen for the insurance. And I'm just making sure you haven't done that. And I'm like, I'm the victim here. Why did you immediately...
And even if I was doing it and stealing it for insurance, I'm not going to tell you, am I?
I know. All you have to do is ask. You got me. Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Oh,
didn't see that coming. I love the question.
I love when you go to the States and you fill in the ESTA form, you know, and they're like, do you have bombs? Are you a terrorist? It's like, well, if I was, I'm going to say, I'm not going to say it on the form, am I? I'm not going to declare it.
Damn it, don't take that. Oh, yeah. Does anyone have an eraser on the plane? Just relying on the honesty. It's so telling, though, because it's like, we will shame you. We will find a way to victim blame you, even if it's a phone.
Yeah. This is how I know I couldn't be a criminal, though, because even though I hadn't done that, part of me wanted to go, oh, you're so right. I'm sorry.
Oh, I have that too. My voice cracks when I'm being really honest. I'm like, no, it wasn't me. I will walk out of stores now when I haven't stolen anything, and I walk extra slowly just to prove, like, I really haven't, guys. There's nothing on me. Why? Who am I doing that for?
I just remember when that when I went shopping with my mum once, my mum would never do anything wrong ever. And we walked out of the shop and the alarms went off just because they sometimes do. And rather than going back in, I just looked at her and I shouted, "Run!" And she was not happy. It was really...
Oh, Hannah.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
It's one to try at home with
this is why we love you, because you're the person whose voice wobbles when you're being accused of a crime, but you're not above making it look like one's happened.
Yeah.
If you can get a little laugh.
You're a prankster.
What happened after that?
Well, she didn't run. Funny. No, absolutely no fun at all, Jill. But
that would look bad. She did the right thing. She did the right thing. Well, Poppy, one thing we always ask is, if you had the perpetrator of this mugging here and you could say anything to them, do anything to them, ask them questions, what would you do?
But are you okay? Did you get the drugs? Why did you need to steal the phone? It was only a Sony Ericsson, and actually the headphones were more expensive. It really did feel like, I just remember it like it was yesterday, even though it was like, God, 15, 20 years ago.
Was it?
Yeah, it was like 2005. That's a long time ago, right? That's a long time ago. Okay. Wow.
I've stopped looking at time. I choose not to accept time.
I think he was just, you know, looking for...
Yeah. We get that answer a lot. It's interesting because I think it's just that realization of like, you were in a worse place than I was. And it's just, I hope you're doing better now. Yeah. You know?
I guess your sister got home before you then.
That's the real crime.
She did get home before me.
Damn it.
I'm so glad you remembered
that.
She did get home before me.
I was hoping something worse had happened to her.
She sent the mugger.
It's not fair.
She sent the guy after you.
Yeah, to delay my getting home.
That's how competitive.
That's basically what happened.
Yeah. I was trying to think for the listeners that don't live in the UK what the equivalent of Primrose Hill is, and then I realize it's like every Richard Curtis film.
Oh, it's in Primrose Hill. Yeah. It's like they will recognize
an accurate
it.
Notting Hill. Portrayal
the
was
Paddington
like that.
Houses.
Yeah. It's effectively that, isn't it?
Hannah's nothing. Just spilled a drink on her own fuzzy scarf and just rubbed it in.
That's what you do, isn't it? Yeah.
Rub it in.
That's all right. That'll be okay. It'll be a bit sticky at some point, but
that's what they tell you in Good Housekeeping.
Yeah. And I read it cover to cover.
And don't forget rice in your bra.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Are we ready to solve some true crime?
Yes, please.
Fantastic. As you know, I've got the details of a case. We're going to unravel it bit by bit. Don't get too excited, guys, but this case is a mystery.
Ooh.
And it is yet unsolved until today. So let's get cracking.
No pressure.
No pressure. Well, no one will know. We'll just say, like, you were right. That's the best part of doing this podcast. So I'll set the scene. It's May 26th, and a teenage boy appears on the streets of Nuremberg. He was wandering around aimlessly, wearing tattered clothing, and he seemed disoriented. So you got the picture? Mm. It sounds like Cardiff on a Sunday. There's hundreds of these people. They've just had two.
Sounds like me
time.
On a Friday morning. Friday morning, Saturday morning. Even.
Fair enough. So this boy's story would become one of the century's most celebrated mysteries. So your first question, and my favorite question, as you guys know, what year is it?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I love
Look how excited I am. What year is it?
Wait, can we recap? Did shabby clothes. Belgium, did you say?
Teenage boy, Nuremberg. So he's in Germany. He's wandering around aimlessly. I almost said the year. It's blah, blah, blah. I almost gave it away. And he seemed disoriented.
How old is he? We just know he's a young boy.
I don't think they knew his exact age.
Are we saying like post Second World War, post Berlin War? I don't...
I'm thinking earlier that I wonder if it's like the 1800s. You would think there'd be some form of birth certificate record post-1900.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because that's when they invented birth certificates.
I love when the logic that's comes in. No, I love it. No one wrote anything down until 1900.
I'm going 1860.
Okay, 1860. We've got our first bidder.
I'm going 1948.
I like the fact it was a celebrated mystery. I like the most celebrated mystery.
It's good to celebrate.
Which makes? Did you say the decades most
of it?
Of its century.
Yeah. Oh. So you've got to think of what was a boring century.
It really wasn't. I mean, we've had some. It's got to be before Agatha Christie came about, because there's a bunch of celebrated mysteries. So I think...
You're going to split the difference? Or are you going to go rogue?
1812.
Oh my goodness. So technically you're closer because it's 1828, but you're very close.
Oh, wow.
And my maths isn't great. So for the listeners, let us know who won. Okay. When first approached, the boy didn't seem to be able to speak very much, but he was holding two things which provided some clues about himself. And actually, it was two of the same thing. So your next question is, what was he holding two of that hinted at his identity?
Oh, that is a good mystery question.
Mm.
Especially when I use my mystery voice.
So two things, but they were identical.
Yeah, two of the same thing, basically.
Did he work? Maybe something like he worked in a workhouse. Or something. He sounds poor, working class. Mm. Maybe something from the place that he worked that gave away his job, like a chimney sweepy. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I like your thinking.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like a working house kind of.
I like your thinking.
Like, those Victorian kids that were basically, destined for slave labour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was one from the Isle of Wight. I always manage to bring it back to the Isle of Wight because there's a statue of him in Lytton Park in Newport. And he was called, he was a young chimney sweep, what died. And he was called Valentine Gray. What a lovely name.
That's a lovely name.
Lovely name.
Should have been a poet.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But instead, he died as a child.
He died a horror.
Yeah. But he has a statue now.
Yeah, I don't have a statue, so fuck you. Yeah. I'm sorry, Valentine, if you're listening from heaven. Katie.
Wait, it's 1820? No.
1828.
Mm-hmm. He's carrying... All right. He's carrying two candlesticks because I want a bit of a Cluedo vibe.
Oh, I love it.
And he's just come from lighting a fire.
Okay.
With his candles.
It's gone creepy. I like it.
And you say it gives us a clue as to his identity.
Yeah.
So is it a passport? Two passports. He's got his Irish passport because of Brexit, and he's got his German passport, not because of Brexit.
You know your history. I shall tell you now, it was actually two letters.
Oh.
Okay.
So the first was addressed to the captain of a local cavalry regiment, and it was written by a laborer who was writing anonymously and said he'd found the boy abandoned and that he had raised him, but he could no longer afford to care for him. And it asked if the captain that it was addressed to would do one of two things. The first was, please take him in under your wing. What was the second suggestion?
Oh, wow. So it was written to this captain the kid's supposed to go to the captain.
Yeah.
And to be taken in.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Military guy. Will you either take him in or you should do this?
Take him in or. Take him in and raise him as your own. Take him in and raise him as a captain or take him in or. Is it an or an and?
Or.
It's an or. So that's
very much an or.
So that has two very different things then,
isn't
it?
Ridiculously different suggestions.
Okay, what's the opposite of take him in?
Kill him and eat him.
Yeah. that's the opposite of taking him in. Yeah.
Kill him and eat him.
I said the opposite of taking him in would just be to leave him.
Oh, abandon, right. leave him, kill him, or eat him.
They sound too. Yes. It's two very different requests, isn't it? So it's like either take him in, raise him as your own, raise him in the military, blah 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 blah, or fuck him,
just leave him in the water.
I mean, don't.
In that sense, yeah, I get you.
Don't, yeah, no,
we get it.
No,
we get it.
Yeah.
Hannah,
I mean, it seems crazy because. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess just don't.
Exactly.
It's a very reasonable answer. Katie was the closest because the other suggestion was hang him.
What?
Oh my God. I know. What a time to be alive.
You are fucking right, mate. Oh.
Look after him or hang him. Like, I can't do it anymore. Look after him. Oh, hang him.
Hanging is so harsh. Just leave him on the street.
It's very specific.
And he can just do a little fake and like steal things from people.
Yes. He could be trained in a trade. He doesn't have to die.
So the story is already a bit bizarre. The second letter was from his mother, and it was
ignore the first letter.
from the boy's mother, biological mother.
It was from the boy's biological mother, dated 1812, the year of the boy's birth.
Okay,
and she said the boy's father was dead. He had also worked in the cavalry. I don't think that's the way you put it. I worked in the cavalry. He was cavalry. And she was unable to care for him. So far, so cheerful. It's a comedy podcast, guys. Have fun with it. So some townspeople took the boy to a captain's house, but it was not the one that the letter was addressed to, because he was out of the country.
It wasn't Captain Birdseye, was it? It was just the last thing that child needs is fish fingers.
I would say the first thing that a guy needs is fish fingers.
Yeah, to be fair,
he needs some nutrients.
He needs a fish finger sandwich. God, that was so light.
Fish finger sandwiches. That's one of the best things this country has ever done. Because I grew up, we call them fish sticks. But first of all, your fish fingers are so much better than fish sticks. And then you're like, put them on a sandwich with salad cream.
Please. Yeah.
One of the best things. I love you guys. Well done on that.
We have cheered up this story. Well done us.
We just talk about food. So I take him to a captain's house, and apparently all Casper could say was two things. The first thing was, I want to be a cavalryman as my father was.
This Casper's the boy, obviously. Yes.
Yeah, you don't think he said
that? Oh, I haven't said his name. I do apologize. It's because I had to reference him and he hasn't even given his name yet. But yes, spoiler, his name is Casper.
Is he friendly?
He's very friendly.
Is he a ghost?
He's a little bit transparent. So all he could say was this sentence, I want to be a cavalryman as my father was, and horse.
Same thing.
Which just feels a bit weird, just because the first sentence is slightly more sophisticated than the second. Like, I can say this long sentence or horse.
So he said, what? I want to be a cavalryman just like my father was.
And horse.
So I got the impression that he wasn't able to talk because he was so dishevelled and hungry and tired.
Uh-huh.
But are there other reasons that he might not be able to talk?
Well, we don't know that yet, but it's an excellent question.
Okay.
And as detectives, we should be asking questions.
Yeah.
Like in True Detective, you're asking the wrong question.
Oh, I loved that line from True Detective.
Yeah. Ask a better question.
And you knew that in the finale, like, that would be the big thing, like, ask the right question. And then they did.
Anyway, I haven't got spoilers. To the finale
oh,
yet.
Sorry. Well, you could have seen that coming. Come on, we're all writers. All right. So the captain didn't know what the fuck to do with this kid. So they took him to a police station where suddenly he was able to write his name. And that's when they learned his name was Casper Hauser.
Okay.
So he wrote
suddenly
down his
he
name.
Was able to write his name.
Suddenly he was able.
Sounds fishy to me.
It's the fish
sounds
finger sandwich.
Fish finger sandwich to me. Yes. It is covered in salad cream at this point. And cop's gonna cop, so they imprisoned him as a vagabond. So kind. That'll help him out. I know. So he spent 2 months in a prison tower under the care of a jailer called Andreas, who reported that Casper seemed in very good health, and he was able to walk up the 90 stairs to his cell. What a crazy cell.
Yeah. 90 steps is a lot.
90 steps is a lot. But he also said he had a strange preference when it came to food. So your next question, what was weird about his food preferences?
He didn't like salad cream in his fish.
He didn't like salad cream. It's like, no, tartar sauce.
I'd go tartar sauce.
I'd go tartar sauce. Yeah,
salad cream. I just thought,
when you said salad cream, you threw me because I was like, Brits, we tend to put tartar sauce on it.
Oh, that's very fancy. Well, my mother-in-law, it was salad cream. She would just plonk a big bottle of it in the middle. It makes that noise.
Yeah, I thought that was just your mother-in-law.
Also probably her mother-in-law.
Yeah.
After the fish finger sandwich.
Okay, so salad cream's a bit out there. Okay, fair enough.
So Andreas says he has an unusual preference for meals.
Yeah, his food preferences seem a bit strange.
I'm immediately thinking vampires. I'm thinking he likes raw meat. If we're going to have a mystery, we're going to maybe have some kind of zombie, undead the thing
like
coming
human
in
human flesh kind of
very he's nice works creepy. With the tower
because also he's gonna be very vibrant at night, and also this guy was like, either look after him or hang him. What's this kid done? Like,
mm-hmm.
At first I was like, what a bastard that guy is, but now I'm like,
what's going on with
keep
this
an eye
kid?
On him, but okay. If you don't, you're going to want to get rid of him.
Rats. Right. He does like rats. Like, I don't know.
Rats.
Yeah, well,
okay.
Yeah,
like, if you're in a cell and you're like, oh, that mice is dead, I might as well eat that.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, thanks for the stew, but I like my food running.
Good one.
I grew up in the country, guys.
I kind of wonder if, because just thinking of the biggest sort of juxtaposition to who he is and who he turned up as, did he ask if there was maybe a wine pairing?
Oh, yes, I love
that. Is he sort
it's
of like
a fancy vagabond?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, this Beaujolais will not do. Amazing. Yeah. Well, I will reveal, he would only drink water and eat bread. He didn't want any meat, no vegetables, no fruit, no wine. Oh. And then it's like, I wish I was at this prison.
Yeah, who's getting wine in
amazing?
This tower?
It was a wine flight. That's amazing.
I know.
And vegetables so nice. As well. Jeez.
Yeah, so he's sort of eating like a toddler.
Oh, no, this really makes me think that he's been... Well, but they say he's in good nick, but it makes me feel like he's...
Can't be in good nick if he's just eating carbs all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, his blood sugar's going to crash.
Yeah.
He's on the bloody Atkins, isn't he?
You are just the opposite of Atkins. He's all carbs.
He's all carbs, yeah.
Oh,
carbs.
Yeah. Oh, I did that wrong then.
That's why Atkins is not working for Hannah. No, I'm joking.
Yes. Right. Oh, yes, he's all carbs. Is there a diet that's all carbs? Because I'm interested.
Anything can be a diet. I was on an all-dip diet once. Just everything had to be dipped in something. It wasn't for weight loss. It was just for pleasure. And it worked. Worked a treat. Sometimes I still go back to it for a few months. Okay, so there's lots of theories kicking around about this guy's backstory by now. There are rumors flying around the town. Many people assumed that he might have been feral, that maybe he had grown up in the woods and, you know, so his speech was limited. There were lots of theories kicking around. But then one day... Casper just comes out with his whole backstory. Oh. He's just suddenly remembered where he's come from. So where did he say he had lived before escaping? What was his story?
Ooh. Shit, he escaped.
Mm. With two letters in his hand.
With two letters in his hand.
But he could have written those letters. But he wouldn't have put "or hang me." Like, he wouldn't have done that, would he? But I think,
or maybe
I don't know.
He would, for dramatic effect.
Double bluff.
Yes.
You know, plot thickens.
I believe him, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then to come out with a very articulate sentence and then say horse. I mean, fucking hell, come on.
See, he's really toying with them.
Yeah, yeah. Little guy knows what he's doing. But how clever could he be just on bread?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So he's been in prison for 2 months and then he does his big reveal.
Yeah.
And it's 1920.
No, 18.
No, not 28. It's 1928.
Sorry, of course it's 18.
He's born 1912.
It's like 1829
now. Oh, he's 1829.
No, maths is impossible.
Well, that's the next date I've written down. I don't know if it's that
so
year.
So he's. The Napoleonic Wars finished.
He's kind of 17 or 18. He's not young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
He speaks German. Mm-hmm. So he must have escaped somewhere in Germany.
So we've got Germany from Katie. I escaped from Germany and went to Germany.
You know that first letter? Who'd written that first letter to that captain?
It was written by an anonymous laborer who claimed that he had raised him.
Laborer. Okay. Labor. Okay. That's a clue, isn't it? He obviously would have been in with that laborer.
Oh, yeah. Could it be like an enforced labor camp? Like
work, another Victorian work. I keep going back.
Well, you're
Victorian.
Not allowed out, and you have to work.
Yeah,
like an Oliver Twist.
It's not a nice house.
Yeah,
like an Oliver Twist.
It's a bad house.
Yeah, basically a prison. A labour prison.
Is Germany landlocked?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so it wasn't at the docks then. I was going to say maybe he worked at the docks, and I realised maybe he didn't because there wouldn't have been any docks.
Unless there's some on the river.
On the river?
Yeah, on the river there could be.
All right. He worked at the river docks.
There you go. Yeah. The river docks. Imagine if that was right.
I know.
I'd be so excited. So I'll tell you, what he said was that for as long as he could remember, he had been kept in solitary confinement in a cell just 2 meters long, 1 meter wide, with only a straw bed, 4 toys, 2 horses...
Oh, horse.
No. That's a very small room for 2 horses and a dog carved out of wood.
Oh, no.
When I first read this, I was like, oh, he had a dog. He'll be all right. But it was just a dog carved.
Wait, were the horses real or were they toys?
No, they're all toys.
They're all toys.
Oh, God, no, it's 1 meter by 2 meters. Yeah.
The horses.
2 Shire horses.
He said the horses were real.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
So 2 real horses, a toy dog.
Kate, I can only apologise for being like a bit fucking stupid, actually, Kate.
And they're all in the same cell. They're all in the same...
In this 1 meter, 2 meter cell.
Yes.
That's not... How... that is that feasible, having 2 horses
so a lot
and
of
a child?
Horse manure and horse wee landing on this kid.
It's very small.
He would get accidentally trampled in seconds.
Yeah.
Like, the health and safety alone.
Some sort of
health and safety alone.
Because I feel like this table is a meter. So it's this table.
Okay, I didn't want to ask as the American. I've lived here for 20 years. I'm like, what's a meter?
It's about that.
It's a meter, yeah.
Do you remember meter sticks?
Yeah, yeah, I do meter sticks. Yeah, yeah.
Really, just, okay, so two of these, this is not helpful for the listeners. For the listeners, it's so small.
Yeah.
You'd have trouble putting, they'd have to be ponies.
I don't think you could fit two horses in a one...
Well, I just filmed with a horse the other day, and you need genuinely, and they need space.
Yeah,
and horses are expensive, so you're not going to chuck your horses in some tiny.
Yeah.
Rich people, and for whatever reason, Cockney gangsters seem to love horses. From my knowledge of Peaky Blinders, and they're a very expensive thing to maintain. Animals to maintain. Yeah. So you're not going to just pen them
travel.
In a tiny.
Yeah. That's capital. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't squander your horses in a tiny room.
Right. I've gone back to thinking Casper's a fucking liar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a roller coaster, isn't it? Casper claimed that he was never allowed out of the cell and that he never saw another person. He would wake up each day and there would be a tray containing only bread and water. And occasionally he said the water would taste bitter. And after he'd drink it, he would fall asleep. And when he'd wake up, something about him would be different. So your next question is, what would be different about him?
The water's not water, it's alcohol.
Okay. Yeah, or like it's been drugged.
Yeah, something. They used to drink, back in the day, they used to drink alcohol, beer, because the water was so dirty.
Unhygienic. Yeah.
Mm. And so he probably like ale or some shit. So he probably was a bit tipsy.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But he'd wake up and something about him would be different every time this would happen. So your question is, what was different about him?
Oh.
He'd have a haircut.
Okay.
He was drunk.
Okay.
Or hungover.
They changed his clothes.
Okay.
Something about himself would be different.
A tattoo. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm taking a lot of answers.
No, you can. Please.
Like memento style.
Yes.
Ooh. There's no maximum of answers.
Maybe he would be cleaned, like, as in... do you know what I mean? Because it feels like maybe somebody somewhere is taking care of him because they're bringing him food and water and they know he's there. I don't know why they can't just,
they're
like...
doing the bare minimum. And they don't. They either don't want him to know where he is or they don't want him to remember what they're doing, which is bleak as fuck.
Well, you guys are spot on. They would basically groom him. He would wake up with a haircut and his nails would be trimmed and he'd be cleaned.
Why are they doing this like this? Yeah. What is going on?
It's really creepy, isn't it?
Although
there's a part of me... they would kind of like that. Like you have a nice nap and you wake up and you're just gorgeous.
But then every day is Groundhog Day. It's like, oh my God, I look good. He's making me look good. Why am I not making me look good? It's weird.
I didn't want highlights. Yeah. God damn it.
Exactly. You couldn't even speak your mind.
Oh my God, I'm the only person with a Rachel in 2024.
You leave a note. Dear anonymous groomer.
I would like some red lipstick.
Yeah. Drunk women solving crime.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Can I jump ahead?
Yeah.
Does he pretend to drink the water? He's awake. He pretends to be asleep. So then when he's, like, they take him out, he can run away.
Oh, that's a very good guess. You're thinking ahead.
That's how he escaped.
That's what I'm imagining.
But, like, I'm imagining he does it after he's had his makeover. You don't want to be like...
Well, if he looked disorientated and a bit dishevelled the morning of. But then
it was before the makeover.
But then you could have 12 hours...
the makeover.
You could get made up and then 12 hours of wandering around, you're going to look like shit anyway, aren't you?
That's true. That's true. Which is why I never make an effort.
It's like, it's really hard to pretend to sleep through a wax, so...
I actually tried. You can't. It's like I sent this riddle to this date. I was like, what feels... So I wanted him to know I had a fucking whack.
Yes.
That day. I was like, what feels really, really amazing, but was also really painful? And he was like, oh, I don't know. I was like, a fucking wax. Because when that hot, like, when the wax goes into every crevice of your fanny.
Yes. This is true.
Yeah. And then you kind of you would literally live in that sensation for so long, and then you see the bitch coming with the thing, and you're just like, and then it's like, and it's just the pain pleasure threshold is really
yeah. That is so true.
Yeah,
and I've never thought about how nice the wax feels.
I'm like, oh. Yeah. Constantly.
That is the yin and yang.
The yin and yang.
Yeah.
Which is also what I call my vagina with. I've never had, just for anyone listening that wondered, I've never had a fanny wax before. But I remember when I was a teenager, I thought, like, oh, probably about 19, I was like, well, I guess I'll buy some of those strips that you can do at home. And I was like, well, I'll just do those. And then I put one on thinking, oh, I'll try it out. And then I read the instructions and it was like, leave on for 30 seconds and pull. And I was like, 30 seconds doesn't seem like it's going to be enough. So I left it on for like 2 minutes and then pulled it and like just... That took my skin off essentially.
Oh no,
and there was just blood, and I was like,
I can't.
Oh, it was horrible.
My mouth is on the floor. I think I need a moment to just.
And she's filmed an anus.
Yeah.
And I've also filmed an anus.
Just so you know, you are a documentary maker.
I didn't do it for my OnlyFans account. I don't have an OnlyFans account. That is, wow. Ouch. I mean, the things I could tell you about hair stories, leaving Jolene on for too long.
No.
You know, the cream.
Oh, beach, yes, yeah. I know, Jolene.
And I read the same thing.
Jolene.
And the same thing as you. I was like, oh, not with this black.
Yeah, exactly.
Not on South Asian skin. Are you mad? So I was like, left on for 5 minutes. And I was like, oh my God, I think my skin's like just melting right now.
And then you have like a red handlebar mustache for a week, yeah. Which looks so much better than the hair that was there.
Yeah,
you got rid of that unsightliness.
I had that. Yeah,
I don't know why I look at instructions and I call bullshit every time.
They don't know.
Fucking time.
I know my body.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no wonder you've never done it again. If that was your experience, guess what? If you pay somebody to do it, it's better. You get to keep your skin.
And you get the pain. You get the pleasure. It's so nice. And then you're like,
oh, and I've got that riddle I can use as well.
No,
I like that now.
I love that we've veered into waxing with this guy that might be like a prisoner in his own life. So Casper claimed the only human that he had ever had contact with had concealed his face, and he was the one who helped him escape to Nuremberg, where he was left with these two letters. Finally, they release him from the prison tower, and the city of Nuremberg adopted him, basically paying for his food and housing. Benefit scrounger.
One cheap as well if they're just paying for his bread.
Yeah, yeah.
He's cheap to keep.
No, we heard you only like bread and water. You don't get that ham.
No new food.
Yeah, exactly. And housing. How's this straw bed? Yeah, how's this cage? Like, you know, yeah, he is a cheap date.
Yeah, he's a cheap date.
So one person who really took interest in Casper's origin story was called Friedrich Dahmer. And I tell you what, nothing bad has ever happened at the hands of a Dahmer.
No. Is it spelled the same?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Perhaps an old relic. No, he was actually a very kind teacher. So he let Casper live with him for a time. And he discovered that Casper, this is just a side fact, had a talent for drawing. And if you Google Casper Hauser, there's actually a lovely pencil drawing that he did in 1829.
Wow. Is it of two horses?
And they're tiny.
Can I just Google that right now? Because I'd love
to
see.
Go for it.
I've got to see.
Yeah, go for it.
I remember there was this kid at my primary school,
Hauser.
And he wasn't very popular, but his thing was drawing, and like it would go around the playground and people would say, have you seen Jonathan draw a duck? Like, just like really serious.
Not bad at all.
I hadn't even seen that one.
Oh wow.
Is that like a self-portrait?
I just put the wrong spelling, but I imagine
it's
a bit creepy.
Yeah, we'll post it. We'll post it on the socials.
Do you know what I'm getting the vibe for? Just sort of overall vibes of this. Mm-hmm, yeah, when we sort of worked out that he might be, Poppy essentially did the math, but like that he's about 17. And
18.
we were thinking that he might be a bit younger. Is it one of those things when somebody who is a lot older says they're a lot younger? Mm-hmm. So is this person maybe even older than that? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like how they'll sometimes come and just be like, oh, I'm 12. And it's like, well, actually, you're 30 or something. Yeah.
Also, if he's kept in this dark cell, he's probably got no concept of days. He's not having a birthday, is he? Let's be honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's older. Yeah.
Well, he might not know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not just like casting for a High School Musical film.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't know his own age.
He doesn't know
his
own age.
They're just speculating.
Right.
Well, you seem like you're 16 to 18.
So the person that smuggled
your playing age.
Yeah, 16.
Your playing age is 16 to 18, Casper, okay? So just put that on your CV.
We'll decide.
So Friedrich Dahmer looked after him for a while. Things were going okay, but then something very dramatic happens in Dahmer's basement.
Okay, before we get to
it's not as creepy as it sounds.
So Friedrich Dahmer is just like no relation to the boy.
Nope. He's just a teacher.
Teacher, right. Random guy, like the lovely Casper, right. I'll take him under
my
wing.
Act of kindness.
Act of kindness. God, he was his like guardian.
Yes, yeah. Trying to help him.
Trying to help him. And then something happens in Friedrich's basement.
Friedrich, that's hard to say.
Yeah, Friedrich.
Maybe it shouldn't be. Friedrich's basement.
Something happens in the basement, in his basement. What do you think happens?
Something dramatic.
Ooh. Is it like a Dungeons and Dragons campaign? I feel like people play in their basements.
Maybe Casper stumbles upon a secret or something that he shouldn't have seen.
Oh, okay. Oh. All the bodies.
Like Dahmer's got a secret?
Like Dharma's got a secret. Maybe not dead bodies, but something he's deeply ashamed of that he's hiding or something.
Oh, I like
Was he doing that home brewing? Yeah.
There's strict licensing in Germany. Yeah. You're only allowed to brew 2 liters per year.
I wonder if he has like some kind of traumatic memory comes to the surface and he has some kind of reaction. He gets triggered by something seemingly innocuous.
Oh, okay.
And then he has like a big outburst. And,
oh, in the basement.
Yeah.
Because
it's like a small, it might be reminiscent of the
where
he was kept before.
Yes.
But he would have gone down to that basement. Surely it wouldn't have been the first time in that basement, right?
Yeah. And also he's been in prison and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, well, I will tell you, Casper is found alone, and he's bleeding from his head. He'd been cut with a razor blade.
Oh, no.
What did Casper claim had happened?
Someone else does the grooming for him.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to use a fucking razor to save his life.
He didn't listen to the instructions.
First shave.
Like, I know how big my hair is.
God, he bloody Hannah George, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I love it. It's all come full circle.
So, did he do it himself? Or did he say someone else did it to him?
Well, I shall tell you. He claimed that a hooded man had come and attacked him and that he recognized the voice as the same man who had helped him.
The bread and
escape.
Water guy, yeah.
Yeah. It should be noted that apparently this incident occurred very shortly after an argument Casper had with Dahmer. And the reason that Casper was so upset is that Dahmer had pointed out that it seemed like Casper was lying about things a lot. And he was concerned.
You're absolutely right. He's a fucking liar. You said this from day dot, from the beginning. You called it.
We like to believe victims, but Casper, I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure about him.
That's interesting.
So Friedrich accuses him of lying a lot. Then suddenly...
There's
he's hooded man
comes, quote unquote.
Yeah, and then hooded man comes and little razor blade situation.
Yeah.
So Dahmer decides, I can't put up with you anymore. This is just too much. So Casper started staying with a new family called the Bieber Box.
The Bieber Box.
Great surname, isn't it? Justin Bieberbach.
Wow.
And wouldn't you know it, another dramatic incident happens at the Bieber Box house.
Is it right after an argument?
I don't know about that one, but this time Casper was shot in the head.
Oh, no.
Now he survives because it just grazed his head.
My God. It's upgrade, isn't it? From a razor to a pistol.
Also,
it's
like an upgrade. Grazing your knee and grazing a bullet at the side of your head.
Yeah, big difference. Big difference.
Yeah. That can go really wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say.
That is a risky self-injury.
Did the Bieber one of the Bieber boxers do this?
The Bieber boxers. So again, Casper claimed that the hooded man had found him at the Bieber box and had come in and shot him. Although later, under questioning, he admitted that he might have just knocked a pistol off of the wall and that it had gone off.
So he's just stupid then.
I'm wondering if like, against all odds, there is someone trying
I think he's a compulsive liar.
I mean, it definitely sounds like it, but imagine if, you know, there actually is someone trying to get him back and he just sounds crazier and crazier.
Yeah.
And no one's going to believe
this
him.
This is such a side thing, but it reminds me of that true crime documentary that's out recently, American...
Yes.
Something where the real story is so outrageous.
I've been thinking about that as well. It's on Netflix. I can't remember what it's called. This is not useful, but it is. It's when something crazy happens.
American
to this.
Nightmare.
It's an American Nightmare. Yeah. Yes. Because yeah.
And I don't want to spoil it too much, but it's just, it's this sort of like, this is too insane to have happened.
Yeah.
Or is it? Okay. So Casper at this point is reaching international status. Everybody's talking about this guy. Huh. Is he for real? Is he a hoax or is this really his backstory? Mm. People are bored in the 1800s. Like yeah. This is their jam. They're reading up about it. They're visiting him. So Casper now ups the stakes in his story and he reveals something new. He says that he thinks that why he was held in the cell is that he actually came from royalty. Oh, and he was an illegitimate
child. Yeah.
And he says that his mother was actually a Hungarian countess. And wouldn't you know it, Casper all of a sudden can speak Hungarian.
Oh, what? Really? So up until that, so he only starts speaking Hungarian now.
Yeah.
I don't trust this guy for love nor money. And also, a countess is still aristocracy. It's only when you fuck with a mistress, like the help, then it's illegitimate. You gotta, you know, hide the child. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I
suppose it doesn't work. It doesn't work. If she's a countess and she's had, you still.
The guy was like the cleaner.
Oh, if it's the other way around. But he said his dad was the cavalry, no?
Yeah, cavalry is well posh. You're not a boss.
You're not hidden away.
Well, they might not marry. Even think of that. They might already be married. And is Countess higher than cavalry though?
No, Countess is pretty high. it's like you're on like lady.
I think
lady
they're
lord territory.
So it could still be there.
Countess of Wessex. That's Dinah's. You're up there. You're up.
Yes.
There.
Yeah.
You're not a muggle.
You are up there.
Yes.
I'm gonna push us ahead in the story because it just keeps getting sillier. So a high society gentleman from another country took great interest in proving Casper was royalty. What country do you think that man was from?
Austria.
Hungary.
Okay.
I feel like there's an obsession with the royals in this country. I bet it's the UK.
Okay.
It's going to be Hungary. Hungary.
Oh, okay. Hungary. Yeah, good guess. Because, okay, if you're one of ours, let's
they're
going to
come
it.
Back.
And he speaks it, apparently. So
let's indulge this crazy, I'm royal now. If he actually was, you know, they didn't kill him, but he could, you know, it's like Caesar. It's like, oh no, that kid's alive. He's going to get all the money. So somebody might want to kill him.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, that rings true.
Well,
yeah.
Hannah is correct. He was from England. It was a man called Lord Stanhope.
Never underestimate how much British people love
Oh my
family.
Goodness. Seriously. So he gained custody of Casper in 1831 and he promised him that he'd move him to England if they could prove that Casper's backstory of royalty was real. So question, how did he set out to prove that he came from royalty? It's so stupid.
My mum really likes bread, so I guess.
Okay. But she eats bread.
I was going to say something to do with the letters, but when you said it's stupid, it that can't be it. Because that would be the natural way to go, to look at the letters and go
that's
to the calorie.
That's not stupid.
Yeah, that's not stupid.
Yeah, that's
now that you said it's stupid, it's logical. Yeah, but now I'm like,
I gave you the little hint.
I would go, okay, give us a hint.
Did he put a little crown on?
Did it fit his head?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. We've tried it on every illegitimate child.
Like the Cinderella crown.
Yeah.
Well, he basically, this is the road trip portion of the movie. They went to Hungary and Lord Stanhope kept going, do you recognize anything? Do you know this?
Oh, that is so
do you
stupid.
Know? It's so stupid.
That is so stupid.
Most of his life in a cell anyway.
But, well, here's what's even weirder is that Casper was just honest and said, no, I don't recognize anything.
Okay.
Which is kind of weird about it. Because if you're a hoaxster, surely you're going to go like, yep, that's my castle.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's my guess.
No, I think if you're a hoaxer, you've got to give him a little bit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You I have think to be like, so. Oh, you have to play, be like, I don't know.
It's like the,
it's the hanging. Yeah, it's the hanging.
So Stanhope decides he's a hoaxer and abandons him because that's what you do when you're a lord.
That's very British.
Now, guys, this is going to bring us really close to the end of the story. Finally, another dramatic incident happens, and this time it's fatal.
Oh, he dies.
Oh, no. The hooded man comes back and finishes the job.
Okay.
But he does it with,
it's technically a suicide, but it's a note that said it was the hooded man.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. I'm going to go with your theory, actually. Can I jump in on that?
Yeah, because it's
a
good one.
I'm going to buy in on that.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like...
So hang on, it's fatal, it's the last thing. Stanhope has said fuck off.
He's lost everything.
So he's just back in Nuremberg making ends meet.
Suicide makes more sense because you've got nothing to live for now. Well, no one believes you.
And he's clearly a bit unstable.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking, do we have a body in this death? Because if there's no body...
There is a body. Okay. We know how he died.
Yeah. How did he die?
Yeah.
Tell us.
It was a stab wound to the chest.
Okay. Oh.
And he's found alive initially, but he's bleeding badly. And again, he claims it was done to him by the masked stranger.
Yeah, the hooded guy.
But ultimately, Casper dies from the wound. They estimate he was about 22 years old. He is buried in Nuremberg and his headstone reads, Casper Hauser, Riddle of His Time.
Huh. Oh, do you know what? I would watch The Masked Stranger on ITV on a Saturday night. I absolutely would.
Well, it's funny you should say this because this has inspired films, books, plays.
On Casper?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Suzanne Vega, I don't know if you know who she is. Hmm. She was 90s alternative musician. Yeah. Tom's Diner. She wrote a song called Casper Hauser. And I never knew who the hell it was, and now I do, so that's pretty exciting. People have studied this case right up through the 1970s, just trying to find any evidence of whether his story was true. They ruled out the story of him growing up in a dark cell, and I think you said this at some point, Poppy. If you had really grown up in a dark cell with no light and just eating bread, your rickets would be so bad. Yeah. There's no way you'd be that healthy to climb 90 steps. So they called bullshit on that. They do think that the stab wound, he was not intending to kill himself.
Okay.
Yeah. But he just went too far.
Attention seeking.
Oh, so hang on. Are we saying it was a murder or are we saying it was a suicide?
Most people think it was self-inflicted and that he was inflicting this. Some psychologists
flea bag where she wants to accidentally hit herself from the cab but not kill herself.
Yeah.
Do you remember that scene?
Yeah, yes.
Of course.
Oh my God, she didn't want to die. She wanted her boyfriend could be like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
So he did a kind of,
Because it also,
they have to love me now.
Yeah.
It also feels like with the masked stranger that he kind of like goes with a gun, takes one shot, misses, and goes, yeah, I guess I'll go home.
I know.
Surely,
I only get one shot on each visit.
Yeah, surely if you actually want to kill someone.
And then just to graze him. But then he admitted that was an accident.
I bumped into it and let it.
Yeah, I can't remember. It might have been a stranger. I might have hit the wall.
Yeah.
They've also taken DNA samples and ruled out any royal lineage. Again, people will throw money at anything if it involves trying to find royal.
So he's definitely not royal.
Definitely not royal. And some psychologists have speculated that maybe he had Munchausen's, which was a compulsive need to harm himself and to present himself
as
ill.
Well, it's a bid for attention.
It seems like it worked as well.
Yeah, I mean...
Worked up to a point.
Today, he'd have a great podcast. So here's to Casper Hauser.
Casper Hauser.
If that was your real name.
Yeah.
Good work, guys.
Drunk women solving crime.
So we're going to finish up with a listener crime. I will read it to you now. Dear drunk women, I am studying at Christchurch University in New Zealand. And when I was living in halls, I was victim of a crime. There were six of us in a ground floor flat and the balcony door opened directly onto the thoroughfare between us and the other halls. During O week, O week.
What is O week?
It's fresh as week, must be. Yeah. Yes.
Orientation.
Yeah.
Orientation. Not orgasm.
We really went to fresh earth.
No, that makes sense.
Wait, not orgasm week.
Certainly wasn't in my first week of uni, unfortunately.
None of uni was.
Yeah.
All bad decisions. Okay. Hi, Mom. I got really drunk and decided to turn in early. My flatmates were out, so I locked the sliding door and went to bed. When I woke up, the front door was wide open and my lovely new boom speaker had gone. gone missing. The crime I would like solved was not the mystery of who stole the speaker, but the mystery of who left the door open. So here are the suspects. These are her flatmates. One, the bigoted army man with a disregard for all things remotely related to women. And then she's put his pronouns, he, him. sounds like the kind of guy that's really for pronouns. Two, the party animal gay with a heart of gold. Three, the stony macaroni. Four, generic white boy on a bender. These are excellent descriptions, by the way. And five, preppy girl with too much money and a low alcohol tolerance. So we've got bigoted army man, party animal gay, stony macaroni, generic white boy on a bender, and preppy girl with too much money.
I think preppy girl with too much money.
Yeah, it's either preppy girl with too much money or the gay guy with a heart of gold.
Yeah.
Oh, why do you think?
The party animal, wasn't he?
Yes, that makes total sense.
And it'd be like, let me just check the facts,
and
Katie.
He'll be that guy. That if it was him, no one will mind because they'll be like, oh, we all love you. It's fun.
Yeah, he gets away with murder.
Yeah, he gets away with murder because he's so fun.
Yeah. And you allow certain.
But that makes him a bit of a liability. I think army man likes rules. He's going to be secure.
And he'll prove a point. I did not steal your speaker.
Yeah.
You know, he'll be that guy.
Yeah. Definitely. Stony macaroni?
It could be. That's the other contender. It's somebody that lives a consequence free life.
Generic white boy.
I think generic white boy is just a spanner in the works. I think it's know what I mean? I think it's just a throw the scent. I think it's just
Just to let you know, other stolen items from that night. She put this as a footnote. Other stolen items from the night include a single shoe, a selection of mixers from the windowsill, and a tote bag containing a peach ice vape.
Huh.
I don't know if that changes any of your answers, but the
peach
the thief
tote bag, yeah, definitely.
Thief is not necessarily, you know, part and parcel of the one that left the door open.
Nice.
Yes, very true.
So it could be two thieves that night.
Yeah, there could be,
and they could have worked together.
Be like, oh, by the way, that door's open. Oh, great, I need a tote bag.
Yeah, with a peach vape in it.
And when you said boom speaker, I was thinking like boombox, and this was the '80s. But then you said vape, and I feel like vapes haven't been around for long.
No, she means those Bluetooth speakers.
Okay, so I was every like the gay was in like the kind of 80s in flares.
I felt the army guy was of now.
Right.
Yeah.
So did we land mostly on party animal gay?
Yeah, or the white girl, the
preppy girl.
Preppy girl.
What are you saying?
I just love the expression stony macaroni.
Me too.
So I think I'm going to go stone.
Makes me want mac and cheese as well, like a stoner would. So, I don't know. When I first read this, I blamed the preppy girl.
Preppy girl.
I hope we've shed some light on this. We are, yes, we are amazing detectives, and you're welcome. So that came from Alice. Thanks, Alice. And she's signed off in what I assume is Maori, and I don't want to fuck it up because it looks beautiful, but it's N-G-A-M-I-N-I. Let us know how to pronounce that. Thanks, Alice. Well, that brings us to the end of today's episode, and we have just enough time to ask Poppy, please tell us what you're up to. Is there anything that you'd like to plug?
We are recording a series 5 of Brown Girls Do It Too.
Awesome.
Yes. Series 5.
I know. When we started, we were like, no one's going to listen to us. Who's going to give a fuck? But clearly people do, and we're still going.
Yes.
And I don't know if this is official yet, but I'll say it, but then maybe you can cut it if it isn't.
Oh, we love these.
But we are going to be at Edinburgh Fringe next year.
It's
exciting.
Very nice. 2024.
Sorry.
2025.
Excellent. How long of a run? Do you have any details?
It'll be like 3 weeks. It'll be like a 3 week run.
Wow.
A proper run. Yeah, a whole month.
Oh my God.
Whoa. And you're recording a podcast every day?
Well, the series 5 is now, so that'll pretty much be done by next year. But then, I mean, they might commission us for a series 6. Who knows?
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to write more material. Rabina's come on this podcast.
Yes, she has.
Loved it.
I meant to say, now it's complete. We've gone full circle.
That's what I've got. We've got on the horizon, so it's exciting times.
Awesome. Sounds great. Yeah. And if you haven't listened to Brown Girls Do It Too, it's a fantastic podcast.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of back episodes that you can catch up with.
Yes.
Get up to speed. Poppy, thank you so much. You've been an excellent detective.
Thank you so much for having me. Honestly, I was just listening, and then I was like, in my mind, I was like, okay, and he's cold, and he doesn't have any shoes, and he's a liar. And he likes bread.
Okay.
We love when people take it seriously.
Oh, I was there. I was there.
It works the best.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. Happy Shay, everyone.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.